If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher Radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
When a man grows up and begins to walk in abnormal pride, and I know this sounds like an oxymoron, this is it's a paradoxical phrase, normal pride. There's no such thing as normal pride, but just go with me. Normal pride is you getting up in the morning and brushing your teeth, combing your hair, putting on your clothes and looking decent. That's normal pride. We call it self-pride. You have pride in yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you find yourself getting to the place where you begin to covet other people's things, when you begin to want to be great in the sight of people at the expense of someone else, then if you trace back in their lives, you will find there's a parental deficiency. And it is extremely prevalent in the African-American society. Why? Because our society is among the highest in the world with single-parent homes. Women can raise boys, but they cannot make men. Because the scripture says, like reproduces after its kind. Your boy has to be exposed to some men. That's where family comes in. Cousins, uncles, same way in church. Our churches are becoming more and more matriarchal, even to the point where we're seeing women step into episcopal positions, the bishopric, the prophetic, the apostolic, and there's nothing wrong with that, don't get me wrong, but if there is an absence of men, what does that present to other men? A friend of mine was going to put his son into a private school. This friend of mine is very Afrocentric. And so when he took his son to that private school, he was sitting with the headmaster. His son had great grades in school, a perfect 4.0 average. And his father took him to this school. And his father did not ask about the academic placement of the school. He asked him, how many black men do you have on the faculty? The man said, we have no black men on the faculty, but we have 3 black women. He said, do you have any black men working here at all? He said, yes, they are the janitor. He said, my son will not attend this school because the image that you are sending to him is that that's what you see black men as. Now, I know people may say, oh, Bishop, you're trying to be racial. No, I'm not. I'm trying to say that one of the problems that we have in our Christian walk starts in our home. My daughter and I have a talk about her getting married, and I say to her, it will be difficult for you to have a husband. Not impossible, but he has to come correct. Why? Because her socialization is me. So she can't marry somebody with a pretty gold tooth, a jerry curl, and no job because she'll say, you know, hey, my daddy, this ain't what I'm used to. In fact, we had a joke because whenever we would travel together, we always fly first class because I use point. And so we would joke, and I said to Shanine, I said, what are you going to do when you get married and your husband can't afford first class? She said, I'm going to say bye. She gonna tell him, if you can't afford to sit up here, I ain't sitting back there. I said, no, you can't do that. I said, she said, why not? She said, I ain't used to sitting back there. And I said, well, Sister Lambert said, well, we're gonna have to bring him up front. I looked at her and said, ain't nobody bring me up there. You just, I ain't got to like this person. Come take my daughter and change her name. Many of us get into relationships that are abusive because that's all we saw. We saw our mamas getting abused, our aunts getting abused, our grandparents getting abused. So we thought that was the norm. So when you draw that conclusion that all men are dogs, it's because that's all you saw coming up. David said, I'm going to walk in dignity and honor in my house. Why? Because I have to show what it looks like to be a child of God. I preached a message last Tuesday at Golden Star Baptist Church where David says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And the text was, why so many fools? And God said, the reason why there are so many fools saying that there is no God is because they're not seeing representatives of God. They need to see that there's a God that walks in power, that keeps us joyful, that keeps us in peace, that heals our bodies. When they see that, then they'll begin to believe that. Are you with me? Lord, y'all not hearing me. Why do you think people believe in that Muslim cult? Because they see them. They see that young man who once was in prison. Now he comes out dressed in a tie and a suit, but they don't see Christ in us. Well, they need to see our families coming together, our husbands loving our wives, our wives loving our husbands, our children obeying our parents, and our parents not abusing our children. Or else we're going to wind up like Esau and Jacob and create competition where there is no need. I don't ever remember that. My brother had different interests than mine, but my parents would never encourage one interest above the other. Mama went to everybody's graduation. She went to mine. My family members would come to all the things they could come to. They never picked one over another. You never felt like you were ostracized. They make candy, it's for everybody. But we sometimes fuel the competition. Pastors do that in churches. Church is what? A family with a father. You can't have picks. Only God can have picks. The children of Israel, they're his pick. They have promises that you and I will never have. They've been promised a homeland. We have not been promised a homeland. According to Ezekiel, they will go back in that homeland. We can't live in their homeland. We've been given other areas in the world, but we don't have a homeland. David has been promised to be their king for eternity. Ezekiel and Jeremiah assure the people of God that David will sit on a throne forever. But it promises us that Jesus will sit on the throne beside David, running the world, and you and I will reign and rule with Jesus. But we won't be ruling the Jews, because we're not Jewish. So even though he has picks, God knew how to spread the candy. And I get Orlando. So don't even ask. Don't even ask. Don't even go to him. Just take it out your mind. It belongs to me. I will be king of Orlando. Yea, verily. And the kingdom of the mouse will still be there because the mouse is saved. Amen. Notice this. If you look in Genesis 25, remember there, it says Isaac loved Esau in verse 28. Because he ate of the venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. You ever run into a situation where you tend to have a sense of compassion, over-compassion, if you will, for that child who may be lacking a parent? Oh, come on, we got to give him some slack. He don't have a father. Come on, give him some slack. They don't have a mother. And we're doing more harm than good. There is no place in the Bible to substantiate the claim that all mothers and fathers come through genetics. I'm a father to many. Some call themselves my godchild. And the relationship that I have with my godchildren, in some cases, is strong enough that it can be called father. Darius will tell you in a minute, he's not my father, but he's my dad. That's Abba. In other words, the genetic man who sired him, that's father, that's genetic. But this is daddy, this is Abba. I've influenced him. I can never replace the genetics, but what we share as Abba is greater than what he shares with genetics. So you don't have to give birth to be a father or give birth to be a mother. Listen carefully. If you find that God, for his sovereign reasons, has closed your womb or only give you one piece of fruit, don't despair. Because he will lead someone into your life that needs those qualities. And if you are willing to cast your bread upon the water, amen, remembering that mothering and fathering isn't necessarily by blood and genetics, but it is also by input. It is also by connection. Listen, verse 29. After we've established the fact that Rebekah and Isaac, and I'm not going to say they did this intentionally. I don't think they were wicked people. I think they were just normal people who chose one child over the other. But you see, there's a lot of time that goes between 28 and 29. Because in 28, we're told that Isaac loved Esau and Rebekah loved Jacob. And it's on the heels of the boys growing up and becoming men of the field. Jacob training, I believe, Esau and the mama training him. And then one day, verse 29, Jacob made some stew. Jacob saw pottage. Jacob made some stew. And then Esau came from the field. And he was faint. He was hungry. He has not been successful in his hunt. Now, watch this. This is where we have to really do two things. We have to let the scripture say what it says, but then we have to understand the motivation. Look at Genesis chapter 4. We'll come back to 25, but go to 4. Now, again, when we're talking about dysfunction, Genesis 4. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived, and she had Cain. And she says, I have gotten me a man-child from the Lord. Again, the oldest one, Cain. You'll see a pattern developing here. You'll see it even with Moses. Moses is the baby boy. Who comes against him in the book of Numbers? His older brother and his older sister. You're going to see a pattern developing throughout the scripture. David is called by God. He's the youngest. Who comes against him when he goes down to bring him cheese? His older brother and sister. You're seeing this thing unfold. We're not going to deal with it all. We only have a month. But look at this thing unfold. Seldom in scripture do you find the older child encouraging the younger one, but you also find God calling the younger one over the objection of the older ones. It appears that he's stirring up stuff because that's what he does, and he can get away with it because he's God. Watch. She has Cain. She says, I've gotten me a man from the Lord. Then she bare again, Abel. Then it says, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. What did Esau, what was his forte? He was a hunter. He was external. He was aggressive, manly. What was Jacob? He lived in the tent. He cooked. He sowed. What was Abel? A keeper of sheep. When you look at other cultures, people who kept sheep were despised by other cultures. That's what made Moses' ascension so interesting, because God, before he calls him to be the first apostolic prophet, he's tending sheep. It's like the lowest of the low jobs. It's not considered to be a job of prestige. Abel, it says here, kept the sheep. But then in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground as an offering to the Lord. And then you got to ask yourself, why did he bring that? Both of them were schooled on what to bring God. That's indicated by the fact that Abel brought the firstling of his flock. So Adam instructs both of his sons to bring God a blood offering. Abel's not just going to do this on his own accord, but Cain decides, I'm not doing what he does. I'll bring God what I want God to have. Dysfunctional family. You say, well, Pastor, Cain didn't have any sheep, but he could have bartered for them from his brother. Hey, Abel, look, I got some watermelon. I got watermelon. I got eggs, 2 dozen for a dollar. I got peaches, Freestone peaches. And all he had to do was go over and say, I'll take one of your sheep for a basket of my peaches. But that would have been humility. That would have been depending upon somebody else to help you be successful, which is what you should do in a family. If you can't go to your family to help you be successful, then where can you go?
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
11315A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.